Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, or what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me by the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So I'm delighted to say that on the podcast this time, we are joined by Sarah. And for those watching, or if you've read the title, we're going to talk about customer-centric copy today. So welcome to the podcast, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Looking forward to this discussion. Something I've learned a bit about over the years of running my own business, but always want to learn more and get better at it. So yeah. Would you quickly just tell us a little bit about you and what you do, and then I kind of can frame the conversation a little bit?
Yeah, of course. So my name's Sarah. I run Sarah Catherine Copywriting. I initially started the business in 2020, so obviously when the pandemic hit.
Great timing.
I tend to focus on more B2B clients for long-term retainers, but I do also work with businesses on short-term projects as well, and that will be a little bit more varied. So that can be, for example, national charities, business schools, etc. That will give me a little bit more variation in my work, but it's quite varied anyway, to be honest, because I'll have, you know, white papers, case studies, social media, blog posts. It's quite a range, really, but I really like being able to partner with these businesses and actually see the results and the conversions that I get from producing my copy. So that's how the theme for customer-centric copy has probably come around today.
Yeah, and I think that it's quite exciting about your type of world, isn't it? That you have to learn and understand different industries and businesses all the time. So I guess that makes it quite exciting and fresh all the time.
Oh, definitely. And I think as well, because I'm quite research heavy in my approach. So obviously, if I want to make sure I'm doing the best possible work I can do for a business, I will really deep dive in and tap in that business. You know, what is it? What is their brand? What is their message? But also tapping into who their customers are, going beyond kind of basic demographics and, you know, thinking more carefully about how we can actually drive conversions, and we do so in a way that feels a little bit more effortless.
Oh, absolutely. So today's subject obviously is all about customer-centric copy, as we've discussed. So nice and simple question to start. I'm not sure if it's a simple answer, but what is customer-centric copy? What does that mean to a business?
So it's just a fancier way of basically saying customer-focused copy. So it's just making sure that you're putting your customers at the heart of everything that you do in terms of your copy and your communications. And, you know, I feel like a lot of businesses will think that they're doing that already, which is great. But then when you actually read copy back, sometimes it's more focused on, you know, like a big business monologue about how great our business is, but you're not actually selling the benefits of your products or your service to your customer. And, you know, then going to maybe think, you know, well, what am I getting out of that? Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of making sure that you're taking a step back and you're making sure that the customer is at the heart of that copywriting process.
Yeah, and I guess for a lot of businesses as well, you know, pretty much every industry has its own kind of jargon and speak. And, you know, I come from a background a few years ago, financial services, which is probably one of the biggest perpetrators of that. And, you know, and we, I think we all get lost in that. You know, a lot of people don't do it on purpose, but kind of it's very easy to speak in that language that maybe the lay person doesn't understand. And I guess that's something quite common that you've come across.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for, you know, making sure that you're talking in a way that is relevant to your target clients, your target customers. But sometimes we become so entrenched in our brand that we're not kind of thinking outside of that sphere. So it is sometimes that through no fault of our own, we do tend to get tunnel vision, where actually we need to be a little bit more strategic in our approach.
Absolutely. And it's about I guess it's about communicating what we can do for them rather than who we are and what we, and whilst that may be relevant to it, it is more about, you know, it's the why kind of question, isn't it? That's what you're trying to answer. Why should we work with you? What makes you the right person to work with?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a lot of time we'll be using words like we or our, but actually you want to be using words like you. So it's a bit more direct towards that customer and you're actively communicating with them. And that's just, you know, it's just one example of a really easy thing that we can do to just make sure that we're doing our best to strike a chord with that customer rather than, you know, just going on and on about services where they're not actually addressing any pain points that that customer may have. So we're missing an opportunity to actually convert that customer.
And absolutely. And how important then would consistency be in this? Because, you know, we most businesses put copy out in various different forms, don't we? Whether it's through website or printed copy, social media, obviously, emails. I'm sure there's loads more as well, but kind of probably some of the most common ones is that it's consistent across all the platforms.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one thing that I do tend to sort of tell my clients and make sure that we're doing that above everything else, because, you know, if you're not establishing a clear tone of voice, then it is going to be more confusing for your customer. So it's going to be harder for them to identify your brand and also then feel a connection to it. So it's making sure that you do have that tone of voice. And if it's something that your business is kind of struggling with, just take it back to a more basic level where you identify, you know, what is our USP? Why are we doing this? What are we trying to do for our customers? What problems are we trying to solve? Just taking that back and thinking more carefully about that will really, really help you in your approach and make sure that you're then, you know, doing the right things to keep nurturing that relationship with your target customer.
Absolutely. And you mentioned there a couple of times tone of voice, and it's something, yeah. You know, before I started my own business, I've never heard of that as a thing. I do know a bit more about it now. Be quite good to explain kind of what tone of voice is. And I think, I know when, well, I think how you'll explain it, I think some people might think it's something only for maybe bigger businesses.
Yeah.
So kind of maybe good to know what tone of voice is and why it's relevant for everybody.
So your tone of voice is just how you want to speak about your brand. How do you want to be perceived? How do you want to articulate yourself? And what do you want your customer to think of when they think of your brand? So with your tone of voice, it will be, you know, for example, looking at a blue chip corporate, it's going to be a little bit more formal, not loads of, you know, sort of abbreviations or things like that. It's going to be quite specific to that corporate world. Whereas if you're a business who's, you know, a beauty brand, for example, then it will be a little bit lighter in its tone of voice. So I suppose tone of voice, think carefully whether you're a big business or a small business, because that is your identity as a brand. It doesn't matter how big your business is. You still have a voice and it still really counts. So make sure that you're making the most of that.
Yeah, and I guess if you can get that tone of voice right, that's where the consistency comes, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think some businesses actually create brand guidelines. Not every business has that, but that is a really, really helpful way, again, to refer back to that if you're struggling to, you know, articulate what you want to say. Go back to your brand guideline, create what you want your brand to be. You know, how do you want to speak? What things will you avoid saying? What keywords would you want to make sure that you're using? How, just think about how you want to be perceived. and just make a few little notes, and it will come from there. It doesn't have to be a really polished document. It just needs to have a little bit of guidance about where you want to point your business and how you want to speak to your customers.
No, absolutely. Now, obviously, the subject matter for the podcast is how to write customer-centric copy. Now, there'll be all levels of abilities to write, people as bad as I am or as people as good as you are, and somewhere in between that. But I guess for everybody, there's probably some maybe simple steps that we can all take to get better. What few things would you kind of advise people to either look at or start doing just to kind of start making those improvements on what they do?
So writing customer-centric copy really doesn't need to be overly complicated. You just have to think about things in a little bit more detail. So before you actually start the writing process, I would think about, you know, what is the purpose of writing this piece of work? What is it that we're trying to achieve with this? And then making sure that, okay, we need to make it clear to that customer what the purpose is. What is it that we're selling? Are we able to sell the benefits to this customer? So think carefully about what pain points you're trying to solve in this piece of writing, whether it's just like a LinkedIn post, for example. If you want them to sign up to a webinar in that LinkedIn post, tell the benefits of what they will get from that webinar. You know, what are they going to learn? Who is it targeting? So, you know, whether you're a business owner or on your way to become one, then this webinar will help you on your way. So it's just little things like that where you're making sure that you've got your demographic, you've got your benefits, and you create a call to action. So like a, you know, sign up here to then drive that customer towards taking the action that you want to take. So pain points, sell the benefits, and a call to action as well. They're probably your three key things in your writing.
That's really useful. And you touched on earlier kind of key messages. You know, it's something, again, I've learned a little bit about, and for those watching can see the banners behind me, I've got some of our keywords that I use, and community is probably the key one actually that I use. And so kind of, do you want to kind of explain a little bit about key messages? And I guess also, I know it's going slightly outside your world, but how important is it that it's not just about what you write down, whether that's on social or other, but also what you say, and kind of bit again, the consistency of that?
Yeah. So I suppose you can just, again, think about words, or you can create clusters of words about what you want your brand to be associated with. So obviously thinking about Northern Affinity, what's the biggest word that springs to mind? Community. So, you know, make a list of these things, make a list of these words, because again, that will help you in the writing process where you think, okay, this is what we want to be associated with. So we then can articulate that and build copy around that, really. I think as well, in terms of tone of voice, that will come through quite naturally, because again, looking at the words that you've listed, are they more formal words? Are they, you know, more jargon associated words? Is that going to be more tailored to your specific niche? So just kind of, again, taking it back to basics will really, really help you in establishing your tone of voice and making sure that that's coming through in your copy.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, one thing I've learned about that is that, you know, someone once told me ages ago that, you know, if you've got a few keywords or key messages that you want to put across, the best thing is that a good position, you almost get sick of hearing yourself say certain words, because but you're not saying it to the same people all the time. But that's good. That's when you've got good consistency, and less so in written content, but especially when it's spoken. But obviously the two need to go together. And I know community is a word that I'm very much sick of hearing myself say it, but I'm kind of glad I am. That's a position to be in.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good thing, because you're showing that, you know, you really understand what it is that your business is about. You know, who are we targeting? What we're trying to achieve? It just kind of lays that solid foundation for the direction that you want your business to go in as well, and who you're actually trying to help.
Absolutely. Now, I kind of touched on it kind of semi-joked about earlier about different levels of writing ability. I'm sure there'd be people, and I would be this person saying, I know I'm rubbish at writing, so therefore I almost can't do anything about it.
Okay.
What would you say to someone, to me in that case?
The first thing first is to say, don't pressure yourself, because sometimes even I find this where you get into your own head about one specific sentence and it becomes more of a thing than it really should be. So just take, I would try and become more relaxed with it and just kind of be aware that, right, okay, I might not be the best, but you don't necessarily need to be the fanciest writer and throw the biggest words in there to be a good writer. It's just about being clear. So just writing simple sentences, chances are what you write is still going to be clear and cohesive and people will connect to it. It's not about, you know, getting your dictionary out or your thesaurus. It's just as long as you are able to articulate that clear message and, you know, using your punctuation, capital letters, just basic things like that, it will come and your confidence will come with it. So don't be too put off. Just if it's something that you want to get more comfortable with, then just practice and just, you know, keep writing. You don't need to keep posting things on LinkedIn. You can always just practice in Word, Google Docs, and, you know, it will come. It's just confidence is key.
Yeah, and I don't know that kind of AI tools are certainly not the be-all and end-all when it comes to content, but they can help some people in that case. I mean, and I use Grammarly as an example, and if people have ever come across that, I use it just mainly for my emails, to be honest. That's where I use it. It just helps me just make sure that it's clear and it kind of learns, doesn't it, over time. And so how useful can those tools be for, should we say, the day-to-day activity? Not so much the writing websites or promotional material, whatever it is, but for the day-to-day.
I mean, I use Grammarly as well. I get a bit frustrated with it sometimes, I will admit. but it's good to have, as long as you're not kind of super, super reliant on it. It is helpful to just kind of tweak things, or, you know, if you don't want to keep proofreading things and, you know, you'll miss something. And sometimes we all do it where we miss that one particular word, whereas Grammarly is quite good at picking those things out. So I see these tools as an insurance policy for your writing, where it can just kind of pick things up here and there. So it is a really, really good tool. I would encourage people to use them, because again, if you feel like you're not the most confident of writers, take advantage of those tools because they're there to help you.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a more advanced version of spell check on Word when we were doing university or school exams and things like that, wasn't it? It's just kind of things have moved on, and it's not going to be, like I said, it's not going to help you be this amazing writer, but if it helps things just be clear and simple, that's all positive.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, it's a free tool as well, so it's not like you need to invest heavily in particular software to do it. It's just a very simple way of just building confidence and making sure that everything's cohesive.
Absolutely. And I'd love to know your kind of experiences in terms of, should we call it, common mistakes that have been made when it comes to writing copy. Let's think of things like website copy again. I guess probably one of them we touched on earlier is the jargon stuff. But what else kind of have you seen for people maybe to look out for themselves doing it?
Honestly, the biggest thing is commas.
Right.
It's something that I see a lot where it doesn't quite flow in the sentence. So one thing I will always encourage people to do is just read it out loud. So wherever you take a natural breath when you're reading that, then that's where it might be quite helpful to put a comma, because that's where you can take that breath and then continue with the rest of the sentence. So that might be a good place to start if you are struggling. But commas are a little bit tricky sometimes, I will admit.
Yeah, but yeah. But I, like I said, I know I'm guilty of all these things. That's why I'm asking these questions. But I guess then, you know, obviously some people may be in a position to work with someone like yourself to kind of help them with part, some, regular, whatever it might be of their copy. How does that work, and how important is it kind of to have that good relationship and that communication in those type of circumstances?
Well, I suppose with any business, you know, nurturing those relationships are key. And it's one part of running my business that is probably the most rewarding, because you want to make sure that you're always being positive, you're being polite, and you can iron out any little hiccups that may come into play. So this is where communication is really, really important, because you want to make sure that everyone's on the same page and they're aligned towards that vision that you have for this particular project. So I find even just checking in with clients and just making sure that everything's clear about what we're trying to do, hopping on Zooms or Teams calls, just kind of making sure that if they haven't worked with, you know, a freelancer before as well, giving them the reassurance that, you know, everything's okay, we're working towards this goal, these are the things that we've ticked off so far, and, you know, if we need to make amendments or edits, we can talk about that, or, you know, you can just do it in a way that is easier for you to do so. So what I will try and do is just kind of work around the client. If they have specific ways of working that they want, we can do that. If they're not really sure and they don't really know what to do, then that's where I will bring in more processes and think, okay, well, we'll meet on this specific date for a Zoom call. This is when we'll check in and review this piece of copy. And then further down the line, let's look at the conversions, and then we can discuss that in more detail for next time. So it's really down to the client, but I just want to make sure that they're happy at every stage, and I'm just doing everything I can to make them happy, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I would say from the kind of the other side as well is, my advice to anyone would be to learn from the expert as you're going on, because kind of almost what we've been talking about is, you know, someone like yourself might be brought in to, like I said, write website copy or promotional materials, whatever it might be, but you're not going to be writing everything that person does. You're not going to be writing every single email they do, every single reply on a post on LinkedIn or whatever it might be. You're not. So learning from that person is really important. So kind of to ask that question of why and kind of talk about key messages and tone of voice and things like that, and being able to, you're not going to be possibly going to be an expert in it, but to understanding enough to improve yourself, I would imagine that probably makes your life easier as well. Because if they're doing it in all areas of what they're doing, it probably makes the website copy and all this stuff that you might have done even more effective.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I like having those sessions where we chat in a bit more detail, because then it's much easier for them to ask a question about something rather than just, you know, sending an email out of the blue. It's easier to discuss things, and it puts them on the spot a little bit less as well, which I think is good. Sometimes you will get situations where you've got quite a few stakeholders where they will all have a specific vision about what they want, and you know, you need to kind of pull them together to make sure that we're on the same page. But I welcome questions from clients, because, you know, this is how we learn and we continue to get better at what we do. And the more I'm probably put on the spot as well, the more I will learn as well and get better at articulating myself with clients as well. So it works both ways.
Well, absolutely. And it's like any area of business, especially, you know, if you're a new business, anyone in or new to working with someone, you might not even know yourself quite what you are yet. And actually going through this process and working it over time is actually really helpful. And kind of, I'm very much talking from experience here, how it works for me. I know that in probably the first 18 months of the business, we attracted all sorts of different types of people to the Northern Affinity, of various different kind of demographics and everything like that. And that's fine. But I think part of the problem was we didn't quite know what we were, and we weren't articulating that particularly perfectly. Or I wasn't, should I say. And as I've grown and learned that, it's amazing how now I look and nearly every inquiry we get, nearly every new person who we have joined is the right person. It's the people who we want in our business. And that's taken some time. So kind of stay patient with it as well, I think is probably a quite important message. And I would imagine you'd probably agree with that as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was in the same position myself when I started, where I had ideas about what I wanted to achieve, but it was hard to really nail that down. So I had to ask myself those questions of, you know, who is it I'm targeting? What is it that I want to achieve? Do I have a specific niche? And how am I going about finding those people? Am I using the right platforms? How am I saying it? What does my website say about me and my business? So it can take time, and I fully appreciate that, you know, clients will be in this situation as well, because, you know, we've both been there and experienced that ourselves. So do be patient. You might not get all the answers straight away. And even if you do get all of those answers and you change your mind, that's fine. I mean, the climate we're in, businesses do need to pivot and adapt. So, you know, coming back to these basics and, you know, maybe switching things up a little bit is okay. You're just showing that your business is agile and you're wanting to adapt to those target clients or customers. So don't be too harsh on yourself. Don't be, you know, putting pressure on yourself. These things will come and they do take time, but you'll absolutely get there if you're just even asking the questions.
Absolutely. And I kind of, I've probably put this across a few times in this conversation. I think this is really, really important actually for a lot of businesses and getting this right. It's something I 100% underestimated when I first started. But now it's one of the things that I would, you know, if I was talking to someone about starting their business and the things to do when you first start, like people always tell them, you know, get an accountant, get a bookkeeper and that thing. So it's often the first thing. And I think for me, I would talk about brand and tone of voice and things like that as actually really key things. And obviously budgets vary, and you can get that done by an expert, or you can kind of work it out yourself and kind of develop that over time, and then hopefully bring an expert. That's everybody's different, obviously, but it's the one thing I would advise anyone to really look at the start. So I think it's really, really important.
Oh yeah, agreed. I mean, it's looking at your business proposition and your USP. They're, you know, so, so important. If you don't have those, you are going to struggle to structure everything else around that, because that is, you know, your center point, and that will guide you towards, you know, creating your business and making progress with it. So I'm in full agreement with you.
Yeah. And like I said, it will help you understand what you are and what you offer over time. Because I think it's probably fair to say most businesses, when they first start, you don't know quite, and it's okay not to know. But you'll get there quicker by kind of thinking about this world in my experience and opinion as well. So final question for me then is, if people want to find out a little bit more about what you do, Sarah, and the work you do and speak to you, where's the best places to go and look?
So it's going to be very stereotypical, and I'm going to say, you know, LinkedIn. So you can find, if you just pop in Sarah Catherine Jones, you will find me. Pop me a message, or you can have a look at my website, which is Sarah Catherine Copywriting. Or you can also just pop me an email if you want to just have a chat. You're not really sure what your business needs are. You can just, yeah, book in a call and we can have a discussion and see what we can, you know, maybe do. So email address is sarahcatherine.copywriting@outlook.com. Yeah, give me a shout, because there's no silly questions or anything like that. I welcome a chat, so don't be shy.
That's perfect. Thank you. And as always with these, all Sarah's details will be in the show notes, on whether you're watching this on YouTube or through the various podcast platforms. If for whatever reason it's not there and it gets lost for whatever reason, just let us know at Northern Affinity and we can pass the details on. So finally, just thank you for that. Like, you can probably tell it's something that I think is really, really important. It's really useful, and I would advise anyone to speak to someone like yourself, Sarah, and, you know, worth having that conversation, because it's such an important part of your business. So yes, thank you very much for taking your time.
No problem at all. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. We, the Northern Affinity, hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website, or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.